Yes, as we're talking about camp, I've been, for all the pastors in the Western PA, we're supposed to be serving at a camp. And I, coming back from our trip, I was kind of going, boy, I'm not ready to go back to camp so fast. And I was going, I need something a little bit later than what the Mahaffey camp was offering. And I was searching, even looking at Edinburgh, going over there, and there was a possibility of cleaning toilets, stuff like that, which would have been okay. But something, by God's grace, something opened up there at Mahaffey. It's the basketball STEM camp. And, of course, former pre-E teacher, when I heard basketball, I was going, oh, yeah, slam dunk some kids. Just help some kids and stuff like that. So, it's a blessing. So they're saying come. And then also Cam's going to come with me, too, to join the STEM camp. So that's a blessing as well to be able to have him join in and the activities there. So we look forward to that. Look forward to working with the younger kids. I think they're going to be from 12th grade to 18, 12-year-old to 18-year-olds and stuff like that at that camp. And I'll be leading one of the groups. So that should be a fun experience. I've done a lot of that here and there before in one way or another. So it should be very interesting. So appreciate your prayers on that too. Today, we're talking about the Great Reunion, and I just as I was reading the scripture, and it's not just the scripture that Steve read, we're actually in from verses 1 to 27, but it just, for some reason, this reunion started to bounce around my brain, maybe because I'm weird or whatever, but, I just had a great reunion back east, back in the New England area, where a lot of my aunts and uncles live and stuff like that, and cousins, and really, the last couple days, we had really a wonderful reunion with my aunts. I saw three of my aunts, and I think they're all in their 90s. I didn't even know. I knew one was alive. I didn't know the other ones were alive. Okay, I haven't contacted them since 1998. All right, so before when we're leaving for Thailand and stuff like that, because we were going back there, traveling back east and saying, farewells and stuff like that until we see you again. Well, how many years is that? I don't want to count. So, but quite a few. So I didn't know, but coming together, what, how many? Oh, thank you. The education system still works. Hallelujah. 23 years, that I don't want to think about that too much, but it was wonderful. Wonderful to get together. I know there's a Dudish reunion today, a Dudish family reunion, and you just never know how it's going to go. And seeing your cousins which you haven't seen for a while, and they're all grown up and they're looking old. I mean, they're looking kind of good and stuff like that, and as they're maturing in age and stuff. So it was wonderful. And I say, well, why was it wonderful? I mean, who am I to step into their lives 23 years after? I mean, why did they just kind of go, who are you? No. There was a connection. Just like you see, and you just recognize one another right away. I noticed, I was walking in there, and they were looking, and they just, I went, oh, they knew who I was. They knew who I was. And I knew who they were. And we instantly knew that there was family there. There's blood there. There's a tight relationship there when we're together. When we're apart, it's kind of like, oh, okay, you got your own life. But when you're together, there's something special. So when I think about reunion, I think about Christ and how he calls us, into that reunion with him. We've been separated for so long, and now he calls us, he beckons us back. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit more today as well. Well, if you go to the first verse there and of chapter 9, and Jesus knows his ministry is starting to wind down now because the opposition is getting stronger, and he just knows things are picking up speed and all that. And people are already hearing the good news, and he's doing what he's sent to do. And now he knows that he has to train up his disciples and get them experience, get them some confidence so they can carry the torch on. He knew that they were going to do it. They had no clue, at this time that Jesus was close to leaving them. All right, so, but he gave them his power and authority, okay? Jesus gave them, gave their disciples, gave his disciples that power and authority to drive out all demons, not some, but all demons, and to cure all diseases. Not just some, but all. Because he gave them his power and authority. Okay, and then he sent them out. He sent them out with nothing. You know, they weren't supposed to carry a bag, no extra clothes or anything. They're just supposed to go into those towns and see if anybody welcomes them to their home, and they would just be there at that home, and they'd eat what they're given to eat, and they just stay, and as they're in, spending that time in that town, they're preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. And they're healing diseases and casting out demons. And they were given all that power and authority to do that. Well, a little bit afterwards, I'm not sure how long, doesn't say how much longer, but it did say they went village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. And then it cuts to a different scene. So we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. Right here, before, let's just pray, because I need prayer. Father God, yes, this is your word. You have inspired it for Luke to write down and to share it in this way that will teach us more about you and who you are and who we are. And Lord, how much we need you. So I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll just open our hearts to receive those wonderful truths, those secrets that were hidden from us before, those golden nuggets we couldn't find before, but that now, Lord, I pray that you'll reveal more of those for us today so we can walk ever so closer to you. So we praise you for this time. We give it to you. Ask that your name be glorified in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, when they were going into those towns, I just had a little note here. They would go in those towns, and if the town said, "Get out of here, you foolish person. We don't want you to hear your stuff, your words." You know, they're just supposed to just shake the dust off their sandals and just go off. You know, they're just, as a warning to them, not saying, "Oh, done with you." No, it's a warning. You know, remember that James and John, you know, the sons of Zebedee, they said, "Well, let's call down fire on these guys. You know, let's blow them away." They're saying, "Nope, blow them away." No, Jesus isn't like that. All right. There's a time he said he'll come back in all that power and glory. But now it is a dispensation of mercy and grace. So giving people opportunity, many opportunities to receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. So it's just an interesting thing how they're supposed to communicate. Well, now we're cutting a scene because the disciples were doing their job so well. You know, they were empowered. They were given all power and authority by Christ. You know, they were stirring up the countryside even more than what it was before, because it comes to Herod's attention. This is Herod Antipas. He's part of that King Herod. He's one of his sons, the King Herod who killed all the babies trying to kill Jesus before he can grow up, because he didn't want any competition, because he heard that there's a king coming. All right, so this is the same guy. This guy was brutal, very brutal guy. He was known for being very bloody. He can kill people with not much thinking, and so some of his brothers as well. So, you know, he heard this news, though. And he's going, what's going on here? This is strange. Who's stirring up these people about these things, you know? What's going on? Well, we're going through all these things. Next, please. Stirring it up. And then he himself is, oh, maybe you got to go back one. Maybe it's back there, Nolan. I think it's there. Or maybe I'm in another world here. I'm trying to look at this. All right, yep, go on. You can go to the next one. I might have had a little bit of something. Maybe my slide changed on me or something like that. But Herod was looking at this situation, and he asked his people, he says, "Well, what's going on? You know, who is this guy?" And there's some of them were saying, John the Baptist, he was risen from the dead, you know. Or some of them were saying, well, there was this, you know, Elijah. And some are saying, well, it's probably one of those old prophets, you know, coming back to life again. All right, so there's a lot of problems there. There's a lot of doubt, there's unbelief, there's ignorance in this world. You know, at that time, you know, did some people just knew in parts and stuff of that. There's a lot of self-focused. Even today, one of the big things that the gospel, when we're talking about the gospel this morning, about when you tell people about Christ and what he's done for us, which is the good news, people just kind of go, oh. They're just, you know, why did it stand off from it, you know? You know, there's facts, you know, there's truths, you know, that we can show them in the Word, and even through archaeology and all these things people see things, you know, this historical, that Jesus lived. And, you know, people just go, oh, no. Because today, the main thing is what you desire. What are your preferences? So they put the preferences that they have of their own and their own desires above even facts and truths. You know, if those facts and truths don't fit into their worldview, burn. I want it this way. You know, Burger King, I'm sorry, I shouldn't mention your rivals, but Burger King, you know, it's just, you know, it's that thing like, you know, whatever you want, just ask for it type thing, right? And you get it. So I know all the other restaurants are doing that today as well. Next, please, Norman. So, oh, this is what I was trying to get to. Also, he's saying this, and Herod, and this is, you know, Herod's had experience with John the Baptist before, right? Because he put him in prison because John the Baptist was saying, "You're sinning. You shouldn't be doing this." And John just said, "No, you go to prison. You can't talk to me like that." But as he is in prison, it says that Herod, you know, he respected John. You know, knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him. So things were really stirring in his heart, you know, these words, and he's going, oh, yeah, I like that, but oh, they're just strange words, and I just don't want it, you know, because it's really convicting me type thing. So now, you know, he hears all this other stuff, and he's going, well, who is this, you know, going on? Well, you know, we know the story about what happened to John the Baptist after a while, because there's a party, and he gave a party favor to this one girl who danced well, and she wanted the head of John the Baptist. And, of course, we know his head was cut off, delivered in a plate. But you know what? Even though people say, oh, poor John, but he was received and open with open arms in heaven, you know, for his service unto the Lord. So that's a good ending, even though it was harsh ending for John. Next, please. So the majority opinion, here it is. You know, people are saying, you know, you got that, you know, you go, oh, yeah, he's John the Baptist. You know, you got all these rumors. Even today, I talk to people, and even like listening to some of Nolan and Cam's friends, and some, they come up with things like, you know, they're, oh, this about Jesus. I'm saying, well, where did they get that from? Or where did they even get that notion from? I said, they're certainly not getting it from the Bible. And all I do is just encourage the, everybody, just like what Steve was saying, you know, in a camp happening, open the Word of God. Read it. Seek it. You know, don't just listen to this person and that person. Oh, this person said this about Jesus, and this person says, so I'm going to, yeah. It's, you know, it just doesn't work that way. Next, please. So you get all these different opinions going on here. So you get that horizontal perspective, you know, we're all very good at that. You know, everything is just right here. You know, we see it all. We think we know it all that stuff. You know, it's just right there. You know, we're thinking about us, you know, what our systems that we made, our government that we formed, you know, the health system, the education system, the medical, you know, all that stuff, all the pills we pop and all that stuff, you know, all that. All the thoughts and ideas and philosophies we have about life. You know, this all horizontal perspective. So you see all of this, you know, But you know, it becomes really, you're self-dependent, you know, we put ourselves in a box. We don't think we are. We think we're very clever, right? But we put ourselves in a box. Next, please. And Ephesians says it pretty well. Here, you know, the Apostle Paul was writing this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, their minds are full, and he's talking about people, all right, there. And he's actually talking about the Gentiles, but I think he could talk about the Jews just as much here. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity, because that's just what, you know, with a horizontal view, you got those selfish ambitions. You got to build your kingdom. You got to protect what you got. You got to be better than the next guy. You got to outsmart that guy. You got to criticize this guy. Next, please. You know, it's just, you got all that infighting. And Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, same thing. He says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned like a child. See, we're still, you know, some people are in that area. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly. The puzzling reflections in a mirror, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. So a lot of people say, well, I know this and I know that. Really? I mean, I got all these scientists, you know, saying, oh, these black holes and this stuff and that stuff going on. Oh, the earth was formed this way and, you know, all this. And I'm kind of going, really? I mean, that's a good theory you got there. But the facts, you don't got them all. But they speak it like they have it all, don't they? Oh, yeah. But really, we know, we all just see, we just see in part. We see these, just like, you know, just like that funny story of those five guys who are blind, you know, going to the elephant. Remember that one? They're touching different parts of the body and they think the elephant is like a tail, you know, like a long snake, you know. They don't see the whole picture, but they say, it is this long thing, and don't you tell me anything else. Don't you dare, because I know. I touched it. I know it. But we have to actually remember that we're mere humans, and we only see in part, right? All I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So there's you know, the vertical, or ways we focus upon things. Next, please. But God says, no, go vertical. Because, you know, you got your horizontal, because you've got things in front of it, but you need to go vertical to really understand more and more, to have your heart open, your mind open to more. Because there's things that we just don't understand. Just like, you know, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. We cannot grasp His infinitiness, you know, His limitlessness. We can't. I can't even think about God before time, because He created time, you know. You just can't even think, how can He be before time? You know, then you think about the universe, how can it have an end? There's a wall somewhere out there, right? No. Infinity is beyond us, but not for Him. So He says, go vertical. Look up. Next, please. Because when you look further on, as Herod was confused and all that stuff, well, then the disciples came back to see Jesus, and they reported all they'd done. They probably said, hey, things were awesome, Jesus. You know, you should have seen that demon. I just cast out that guy. I just had to say your name. It was gone. You know, I just touched this person and just prayed in your name, and he was healed perfectly. Now he can walk. He can see all these things going on. You know, and then you know, they think they're going to go into a little place and kind of relax. And then, but 5,000 men follow. And then Jesus starts teaching them because that's just what he does. And he heals them because that's who he is, his love and compassion for the people. And then that came up, you know, hey, it's getting late. These guys don't have any food. And his disciples say, Jesus, and you know, horizontal view, right? Jesus, send them away so they can go find some food and a place to rest. And Jesus says, well, look vertical. Look vertical, guys. Stop looking at it right here. Look vertical. You feed them. And they go, no, they still got to stay on a horizontal plane. So Jesus, I don't have the money to feed all these guys, but we do have 5 loaves of bread and a couple fish for me. But that's not going to cover this, Jesus. What do you, don't forget, the disciples have been walking with Jesus for a little while now, and they've seen him raise the dead, heal the sick, take, free a demonic guy, a guy under demonic oppression. You know, he saw him calm the seas. They've seen all this. And yet, they're still kind of going, Jesus, I just can't see the forest for the trees. There it is. Oh, the trees are in the way of the forest. Can't see it. But Jesus is saying, guys, go vertical. Says, give me, just have them sit down in, about 50s, groups of 50s. Give me the stuff. Give me the bread. And what did Jesus do? He went vertical. He broke the bread and blessed it and gave thanks for it. He went vertical. And what happened? They fed them all to where they had 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Going vertical. Kind of important. All of this he's providing. And I don't know if it was starting to dawn on them, but maybe they were thinking about their experience when they're out there in ministry, going to the villages, and they're saying, wait a second, we didn't bring anything, but we were well provided for. And we were safe. And we had a successful ministry. We're starting to think about, dependency upon God, upon Jesus. Providing for their needs, and also how Jesus provided for the crowd needs by going vertical. So he's teaching. All the time he's teaching. He's, because remember, don't forget, we got all these things. We got all this stuff in our, we've grown up, even back then, they didn't have iPads and TV and radio and telephones and all that stuff. But they still had all this stuff messing with their brains. Superstitions, traditions, philosophies of those times, selfishness, pride, they had it all. I just had to put that up. I don't know if anybody remembered Mission Impossible team. Awesome. Oh, I just look at that and kind of go, yes. That's the way Jesus, he's the one that makes the impossible possible. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Next, please. So Jesus knows, the perfect timing of it all. Just like this, somebody catching this lightning bolt hitting Statue of Liberty. That takes pretty good timing for a click in that picture. I don't know how they did it. Don't ask me. Maybe Chris knows. I don't know. But it's just the perfect timing. Jesus knows he's God, okay? He knows divine appointments are waiting for him. He knows the perfect timing because he's seeing the stirring now in the hearts of his own disciples because he's saying, go vertical. And they're going, no, we got to stay here, Jesus. This is our comfort zone. This is what we know. But Jesus is saying, go up here because he's got so much more for you. So much more for you. So what happens? Jesus starts asking questions. He says, well, he asks for the popular opinion, right? He says, well, what, I think he's just warming them up. He just asks them, says, what do the people say I am? Because they were out there in the villages and stuff like that, and they were giving the same answers they had heard, right? Oh, it's John the Baptist risen. Or it's Elijah, or it's one of those old prophets, you know, and they rose from the dead. It's kind of funny that they even think about being, you know, he was risen from the dead. I mean, I guess maybe they're looking back in the scriptures, maybe some of those times Elijah or Elisha or something raising people from the dead, and so maybe they still think it's happening now. So they're still, they've got a little bit of verticalness going on, but they're still very horizontal. But then Jesus lowers the boom, because now he's going, you. And now he's talking to his disciples. He's got the finger. He's going, what about you? Who do you say I am? He's putting them, oh, I can see it. You know, you remember being in class, well, some of you guys are still at school, right? And the teacher says, well, Nate, what's the answer to this problem? And you just kind of go, and you start looking around and says, did he say me or did he say you? Oh, get elbow room. Oh, they didn't have that close space, though, did they, last year? So you had to reach for somebody, maybe. You know, it's here it comes, all right? And then Peter, praise the Lord, Peter loudmouth, right? He just says, hey, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Somebody who's so vertical, all of a sudden so horizontal, all of a sudden is, you know, goes vertical. Well, what happened? Well, we have to go back to Mark. If you like to look at your book here. Is it Mark? Oh, Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew 16. And see if I can pick that up. 16:16, it says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Boy, he knew Simon pretty well, right? He knew Peter real well, huh? Son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. So remember how, you know, unless God is in it, these truths, you know, we can search and we can rack our brain. We can just put all these things. We can get the chemistry set out. We can get the ruler out. We can get the vector calculus, all that thinking going on. But we just can't break through this Bible. We can't, this Word of God, without inspiration by the Holy Spirit, by the Father, to reveal those truths, those secrets that are hidden from our horizontal looking eyes. You know, we're just here. But God, by His grace, He says, okay, I'm going to give you something now because your heart is softening. You're ready for this. And then Peter proclaims this. And then Jesus really backs him up. He says this. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Wow. If I was Peter, I'd be going, whoa. I think there'd be smoke coming out of my ears. I'd be going, I'd be almost like Elijah after that Mount Carmel experience. I'd be going, wow. You know, God just sent me this. I couldn't hold it back. I just had to confess it. I just had to proclaim, yeah, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then, what? You're going to build your church on me? On my life? On my confession? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Wow. King David, when God says, hey, you know, hey, I'm gonna give you your family line is just gonna go on forever. I'm gonna bless you. And David was going, who am I? I was just a shepherd boy. I'm sure Peter's going, I was just a fisherman. Loudmouth fisherman. And you're giving me these nuggets of truth, and that you're going to build on this, your church, and here we are today. Because of this confession, that's changed the world. Next, please. Amazing. So what do we do with all this? Well, you go on. Jesus keeps on going, doesn't he, in this chapter 9 here. Jesus says this after he gave that confession, after Peter had confession, and Jesus told him, he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised alive. So he's starting to, get him, chipping away, the hard hearts and all this. He's starting to chip away at it so they can get, more ready to hear this and being prepared for what's going to happen to Jesus, even though they just can't handle it right now. But he's telling them that. He says, and if anyone would come after me, and now he's not just talking to his disciples, but he's talking to all that crowd, saying, if anybody is going to come after me, you must deny yourself. Wow. That's a hard one, Jesus. That's a hard one. And take up your cross daily and follow me. Ooh, that's a daily thing. That's a moment-to-moment decisions that we make. There's a lot of moment-to-moment decisions that we make. Are we following Christ or are we following ourselves in this horizontal world of ours? Or are we going vertical? You can usually tell a very godly person by what they do from moment to moment, especially when they come up against some type of trial or a test. Because people who are really close to God, they're going to go vertical pretty much right away. And people like me who are still working on it, you start searching around for all these books and all these things or people or whatever systems or whatever you got. See if you can work it out yourself. And then when you finally kick against goads, as Jesus said, stop doing it because all you're going to do is get hurt. Finally go vertical, right? So if you want to save yourself some bruises, go vertical right away. Deny yourselves, deny your pride, deny who you are, all the things, the horizontal things that you know in your world and about yourself, then put it aside. Put all that stuff that you thought you've learned and understood really well. And really go vertical with Jesus and ask him and seek him. And as we build that relationship with him, be confident. It says it's pretty much like a confidence. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? And then he comes to, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Saying, don't be ashamed of me or my word. Be confident in your faith and in who he is, his word. Be confident. Well, how do we get to confidence? Next, please. Well, he's saying, stop shadowboxing. In 1 Corinthians there, stop shadowboxing. Because you know what that is. You're here and you go, oh, this is good, but you're not hitting anything. You're just pretending. You're focusing on something that's not really real, and you're not winning or losing. You're not getting yourself ready. You're not taking a hit. And you're not given one. He says, don't you realize that in a race, the Olympics going on, did you see the swimming? I saw this one guy, and even the biking, that was awesome. The bikers were wonderful. Those guys, I'm not sure if I can even bike up one little hill anymore. These guys are going up, all these things. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. Yeah, we know that. If you look at the Olympic athletes, they are very disciplined. They've given up their lives, a lot of them from real young. They're 8 hours a day. I don't know what type of training they're doing all the time. They really give it up a lot. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. Yeah, you get those gold medals and stuff like that, but eventually they're going to mean nothing. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I will run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So how we get that confidence? Well, we got to get into the Word. So if you're not in the Word every day, how are you going to be confident when people are challenging you or poo-pooing what you're saying about Jesus? Because you're going to be sitting there scratching your head going, I don't even know what to say. I mean, sometimes you just have to go, hey, guys, I really don't know what to answer, but I'm going to get in a Word. I'm going to pray about it and see if we can find it. But we got to be confident in the Word, and you got to back it up with prayer. If you're not praying, you got to pray, because you got to go vertical. That's what Jesus did when he broke the bread. He didn't just go, oh, I'm God. You know, start throwing it around. No, he went vertical to the Father. He's given an example. Go vertical. So we need to pray. In the Word, pray the basics, right? And go and be like the Phillips who will bring these Nathanaels to Jesus. You know, you lead them. You talk. Say, hey, come see Jesus. Come see him. Just come see him. All this is what he is asking us to do. Get strong in the Lord. You know, get into a good fellowship. Go to in a group. Hold one another accountable. Get out there and witness and share. You know, toss the seed. Share the good news. Next, please. All that is part of it. And then there's a joyous reunion, right? And all of this, there's a joyous reunion. Because we are his faithful servants, tossing a seed and growing to know him more, right? When you see Jesus, there's just going to be a reunion like, I know him, and he knows me. He knows me, and I know him. And he opens up his arms, just come. You know, just like many others in our family who have already gone before us, right? You know, and when they believe in Jesus, you know, Jesus welcomes them into heaven, a joyous reunion. You know you belong. It's a family that can't ever be broken, that family bond. It's tight. That's what we desire in our lives. Next, please. So, that's it, right? Jesus, he calls us. He calls us, he's inviting us. If you haven't decided yet whether to follow Jesus, whether to humble yourself and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me my sins, and just fall down before him and say, I need you in my life, and I want desire to follow you. You know, this is the time. The devil says, tomorrow. Yeah, I'm a tomorrow guy. You know, the devil's always saying, no, tomorrow, you can do this tomorrow. And then the time passes. Jesus says, today. You heard the word. You know who Jesus is, or you're starting to learn who he is, and your heart is opening. Receive him. Receive him into your heart. And if you have been walking with Jesus for quite a while or whatever, or however long, but you felt like you're going after the world, you're just horizontal, you're just doing this and that, you're building your own kingdom, watch out. Go vertical. Go vertical. Deny yourself. Put that stuff aside and let him be your treasure again. Come back to him when you first loved him and you found out that he loved you first. And recommit your life. Put the priorities, change the priorities of your life and just say, hey, Jesus, you're on my throne. You're the one I bow down to. You're the one I know. You're the one that knows me, and you're the one I'll follow every day, every moment. And share that with others, right? Share it with others. Share the good news. Share the hope that we have in Jesus with others and all he's done for us, all he's made possible for us. Let's be kingdom builders. It's not easy to lift those big blocks, but we've got a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. If you don't know who he is, go to Colossians and read that first chapter, the supreme one, the invisible image of God, supreme over all creation, the one who is faithful and gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Those are just a little bit of who Jesus is. Can go on and on. Trust in him. Come to him. Let's pray. Father God, we want to be kingdom builders. We can't do it on our own in our own strength. And as some people learned, that we can't be perfectionists, but you want to be perfection in us. Lord God, that is so precious. Help us to walk in your paths and to come to know you more and more and knowing that you know us. And as we grow closer, Lord, you'll just reveal things and use our lives in ways that will bring honor and glory to your name, that we will be these kingdom builders, that you'll give us the strength to place those blocks on your foundation of your word and of your life, of your death and your resurrection. And we can build with solid blocks that can never be broken or burned up, solid rocks that will last for eternity. Father, may we be these kingdom builders that will receive others, that guide others, point others to you, to who you are, because we are confident of who you are and who we are in you. Help us to train ourselves up. Put aside the world, put it aside and put you number one in our priorities. And bless us to be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, and all of his people say, Amen. Amen.